you would join me in praying for our choir and for our staff, for our techs. And they have to hear this twice a week. And nobody wants that. Last week we left a John 1, examining that the Logos, the Word, this eternal connection and interconnectivity of God's wisdom, and that as part of the creative force that has made all and that is, sustains all, that shapes what we know as life and light in the world, that wisdom was part of this creative eternal force. And hang with me. Because this force has been, this wisdom, this reality has been since the very beginning. And since wisdom is a woman, she's been right for a long time. And today, she is still always right. You see, last week I saw you squirm a little bit when I said she is always right. And so like any good pastor, I don't want to back off from that. I want to lean into it a little bit. Let's see how far this thing can go. I've been hearing it from both sides all week. Both sides of the aisle have been getting after me, okay? But my favorite was this. It was one spouse who said, "I love it. I love it when we have a disagreement." And years later, he comes back to me and says, "You know that thing? You were right." Now, she didn't tell me this. She did not say this. But in my experience, she probably turned her head just a little bit, smiled, and said, "Mm-hmm." The wisdom is a woman. And she is still right. And we can mm-hmm to that. Let's lean in today, not for the sake of pun, but for the sake that we might grow in wisdom. That as we face these forks in our life, we might walk with wisdom. This week in 1973, I remember it like it was yesterday. In Houston, Texas, Bobby Riggs challenged Billie Jean King to tennis in what was billed as Battle of the Sexes. Bobby Riggs was a world-class tennis player. He fit in real well here in Lubbock over off Quaker and 15th Street in that general Greek area of town. Bobby was a self-proclaimed gambler. He liked the action. He was a self-proclaimed chauvinist. And his male superiority was facing the likes of Billie Jean King, one of tennis's all-time greats. And in this match, which looked more like a Liberace concert than a tennis match, included spectacle and processional and women who couldn't afford the entire outfit, so they just wore half of it. Billie Jean King dominated this guy on the court. Beat him in straight sets. I think sport is an important aspect of life. It really is. I think that sport reveals much about our culture. And unfortunately in sport, I think that we have regulated women. We have looked down upon their abilities. We have not given them the full opportunity and even the full compensation, which is also true in other more important areas of life. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, women are often not paid as much. Women are subject to certain roles that we project upon them. And so this morning, I would like to consider all of this, yet I would like for us to use the metaphor of sports. Last Sunday morning, we were all asleep, I pray, at about 2 a.m. when Eliud Kipchoge crossed the finish line in Berlin, Germany. Eliud ran the Berlin Marathon in 2 hours and 1 minute, 26.2 miles in less than five minutes per mile. He smashed the previous world record, which he held, by a greater margin than had been done in over 50 years. 2 hours and 1 minute. Now, in 1918, The world record for a female to run a marathon was near 6 hours. In 1918, the male record for a marathon was 2.5 hours. So in 1918, the gender gap in marathoning was about 3.5 hours. Last week, Kipchoge from Kenya crushed it, 2 hours and 1 minute. And today, the world record for a woman to run a marathon is 2 hours and 15 minutes. There's not a guy or a gal in here that could even flirt with that kind of time. Even if you were driving. The gap has gone from 3.5 hours in only 100 years to 14 minutes. I foresee a world in which the gender gap in sports continues to narrow. I do not believe that men are more biologically or physically capable than women. I foresee a world in which the gender gap is made one, made the way that God designed for us to live in healthy community. I don't believe that men are less capable than women emotionally. That's a cop-out and it's a cheap joke on Saturday Night Live. I don't believe that men create better leaders for the public life or corporate America. That's a false narrative that our culture says to support certain structures. I'd like to consider this narrative based on Scripture this morning, a Scripture that has long been used to discuss what it means to be a woman. But before we do, I want to talk about marathons for just a little bit longer. Running, like many other sports, is very data-driven. If you're a runner, I really encourage you, go for a run without your watch. It's really beautiful. If you're into CrossFit, But like do a workout without like measuring everything. Running, like baseball, has become very data-driven. If running is fun and it's data-driven, maybe baseball isn't as boring as I've made it out to be these last few weeks, okay? Case in point, at this moment in history, the Second Baptist Church softball team sits in first place. Yeah. Men and women alike. We may not finish there, but we know what glory tastes like. Numbers and running are very important. Last weekend, when Kipchoge crushed the world record, the second half of his run was much faster than the first. This is very common with all elite runners. In the coaching that I've seen and I've experienced, a marathon is an experiment in delayed energy expense. Okay? I am not a good example of this. When I've run, I've often seen the food that I ate for breakfast later on. Okay? Marathoners are aiming to have a faster second half than a first half. Technology is accelerating at an astronomical rate. I remember the day that we got a computer. I remember the day that we got internet, which my brothers had to get off the phone in order for us to use the internet. I remember that day with such fondness. My younger brother, he doesn't remember that day. He's what we would call a digital native. If I were to talk technology with my younger brother, I wouldn't understand a word he's saying. I am a dinosaur when it comes to technology. And if I'm a dinosaur, I wonder about some of you all. We're gonna have to figure this out. Things in the world can gain speed in the second half of life. Some of you and many people that I've talked to are far busier in retirement than they were when they were working. Life can accelerate. The universe itself, according to the smartest people alive, is expanding and accelerating. Things get faster in the second half. So I wonder, with respect to women, do you feel like it's getting faster? Some of you may feel like, yes, it's finally speeding up. And there are others in our world and in our culture, and maybe even in this room, like, it's getting too fast. It's going too fast. And this is not just true for this issue. This is true for any number of issues. That things, for some, seem to be going too fast, and for others, it seems to be not be going fast enough. Racial equality in our country may, to some of you, look like it's going too fast. And for others, it may feel like it's just been delayed since the founding of our country. Well, which one is it? Are things going too fast, or are things going too slow? I think the answer is wisdom. She knows. She knows the speed and the cadence at which we should be going at various moments along the path. You may feel like it's too fast, and that's okay. Walk with wisdom. Walk with wisdom. You may feel like it's not going fast enough, and that's okay. Walk with wisdom. She knows, because she is still always right. I just want to be honest with you. There have been moments in history in which Baptist ministers have interpreted Scripture to condone certain behaviors. Unfortunately, the slavery of Africans here in our country was condoned by many Baptist preachers. Unfortunately, the genocide of Native Americans and other indigenous peoples was supported by Scripture by Baptist ministers. And I don't want to ignore it. We lament it. We regret it. But we don't forget it. Proverbs 31, for some of you, has been hurtful. She brings him good food. She buys a ship. She exchanges with the merchants. She provides food for her family. She plants a vineyard. Amen. She opens her arms to the poor. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed with fine linens. She makes linen garments. She speaks with wisdom. She watches over the affairs of her household. Her children all rise up and call her blessed. Ain't nobody's kids doing that. She is surpassed by none. For some, Proverbs 31 has been an unattainable list. For others, maybe hearing it for the first time, can set it aside along with other big biblical material that may seem archaic or chauvinistic. And today I would like to consider how we can engage with this text in a healthy, holistic, biblical way. And I believe there are three postures that I'd like for us to consider. First, we remember that wisdom is a woman. And so in this text, when we encounter the pronoun she, the antecedent of this pronoun is a double entendre. My wife is an incredible woman. My mother is an incredible woman. My mother-in-law is an incredible woman too. You all, many of you, are incredible women. You don't do all this. You don't live up to this. This could be an impossible standard to you. She, in Proverbs 31, describes you because you do some of this, but it does not prescribe you. It does not hold you to it. However, wisdom is a woman. She here prescribes and describes wisdom. She is eternal and powerful, and she finds her very source in God. Second, Proverbs 31 is a poem. The eternal, emeritus, Reverend Stephanie Nash taught me in English 101 that poems are not to be read literally, right? I just passed English for the first time in my life. It's a poem. It doesn't prescribe you. We don't read poetry literally. Further, in context, the ancient Hebrews, this was a song that was sung by men. This was a song that men sang about Lady Wisdom and other women. So, if this list in Proverbs 31 has hindered you in your spiritual life as a woman, it's not for you. It's for us. And I don't really sing, so I'm not going to sing it. You're welcome. Third and finally, Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character, a virtuous woman, other translations read, as we read this morning, a good wife. The word we're translating here is kail. If you have a PhD in ancient Near Eastern languages, you'll know that I just like butchered that. It's okay. This word might better be translated valor. A woman of valor is to be celebrated. You see, this poem, as often our scripture is subversive. In a world that is run by kings and chariots, our scripture celebrates brave women. Deborah, Ruth, Naomi, women included in the genealogy of the Savior. You go, girl, you do your thing. You be brave. And we as a community are going to celebrate women of valor. Man, that's good. What does this have to do with Mark 9? These two scriptures side by side in our lectionary, wow. In one breath, we're celebrating brave women. And in the next moment, men are arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom. Lord, can I sit at your right and at your left? Guys, we need to get it together. Jackie Joyner Kersee won 3 gold medals in 1988 and 1992 and in the events of the heptathlon and the long jump. She was born with severe asthma. It's incredible. She's known as one of the greatest of all American athletes. And in a recent article I read, when she was asked, what are some of the factors that contributed to your success and to your progress? She said, I learned to listen and listen well. Listen to her coaches. Listen to her body. Listen to her lungs and her heart and her goals. Listen. Proverbs is calling, wisdom is calling out to us. Are we listening? Have we learned to listen well? She's always right. This scripture in Mark 9 ends as the men are arguing about who among the disciples is greatest. And Jesus ends this little moment in scripture by saying, when you welcome the children, you're welcoming me. And although there are many beautiful things happening here, I think one of the things that blows my mind is that as men are arguing about their place of authority, Jesus is reminding the men what their first role is. Your first place in life is as a child of God. The children are welcome. My children are always welcome in the presence of God. You may be a pro tennis player. You may be an Olympic athlete. You may be male. You may be female. But before all, beneath all, what is most true about you is that you are a loved child of God and that you are welcome in the presence of Christ. And that's wisdom, and she is always right. Let's pray together. Lord, remind us. Remind us of your wisdom. Remind us of the wisdom that lives within all of us. The wisdom that is found in your word. The wisdom that is found in your people when we join together. Help us not to follow the ways of the world. Help us not to regulate members of culture to the side. Help us to celebrate that all of us are created in your image, that we are your beloved children. Help us to listen to your voice calling out. Lead us. Provide for us. Convict us. Grow us. We're listening. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, amen.